So this gospel today need first to we have to first set the stage to know the characters. We have a little bit of problem for listening this gospel. After you were listening this gospel for 2,000 years, oh pardon, you are not 2,000 years old. Okay, I know that. A little bit younger. But as much as you are listening this gospel, not only this, any gospel, we always paint, Pharisees is always paint as bad guy. But we have to listen this gospel in same way as people to whom Jesus Christ was speaking. And for them, Pharisee for sure is not a bad guy. He might be annoying. Every self-righteous person is annoying, extremely. And Pharisees are self-righteous. But they are at least somebody who tried to fulfill the law. And that's all what the Jewish people knew is important, to fulfill the law. And by the way, in parentheses, many Catholics think that's only thing what is important. You know, we'll come back hopefully to the example of that. And this Pharisee who is fulfilling the law even more than what is required is standing there and praying. We have also to put to, maybe before I go to tax collector, we have to remember this Pharisee, how would look, which person should I personage to pick up in today's world? Maybe a nun who is serious in her vocation, doing everything possible, quite respected. Many people were annoyed by the nuns who were beating the children or something, but they are trying to do the good work. And the other guy, tax collector, we also have lost idea how the people would see them at the time. I always remind you that were bad people who were helping the occupier, the one who occupied their country and getting rich on the money of his own people. For sure not respected. But we are softened over them because Jesus Christ always received them and showed them the love. So we have also softened with them, toward them. So let's see, instead of thinking of tax collector on the back of the church, let's say there is child molester here in Manistee and you see him in the back pew. You would for sure think, I'm not the best, but I'm for sure better than this guy. So that's the proper setting now. Now, important thing, these two people came in the church, I'd rather say in the church, to pray, to understand it is about us. And I will give you an image of two boys to tell me who loves more. Imagine two 15-year-old boys going to the party. You know, they like to go to the parties. And it was a very good party. And one comes home and he says to his brother, boy, there was a girl on this party and is she lucky that I gave her my phone number? Do you think he loves the girl? No. And the other guy comes home and says, he immediately called his friend. Man, there was this girl. I mean, she's fantastic. I even didn't dare to look at her that she would laugh at me. How I hope to be with her, you know. And she spoke with me. And she smiled at me. And at the end, she gave me her phone number. I cannot believe. Which one of them loves the girl? Uh-huh. And which of these two, tax collector and Pharisee, has more chance to love God? Huh? That's the point. You see why Christ says that the tax collector prayed properly. Because he could see God as he is. It is true, absolutely true, that whenever we come in the presence of God, we see ourselves as sinner. It is impossible to see yourself differently. Maybe you don't recognize any particular sin at that moment, but you are in the presence of holiness and you see you are different. You understand? You are in the presence of greatness and you see your own smallness. You are in the presence of light and you see your own darkness. It is like that. Cannot be different. I bring you two examples from the Bible. Prophet Isaiah, who had vision of God in heaven. And immediately, first thing what has come from his mouth, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips who lives among the people of unclean lips." Or St. Peter, after miraculous catch of the fish, he didn't maybe yet have clarity that Jesus Christ is God. But after this miraculous catch of the fish, he understood, "I am here in the presence of something much greater than I am." And immediately, Peter fall in front of Jesus and says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinner. I am a sinful man." This is the point. It is impossible. If you have the encounter with God, nobody can tell me, "I have encounter with God and I remain the same." It is like telling, "I touched the high voltage wire and didn't affect me." No way. You have encounter with God, you have encounter with source of life, and you are remaining dead inside? It's impossible. Now, last time, I told you that what is the successful prayer? Successful prayer is not the prayer which assures that you get everything what is on your shopping list. I don't know what is on your shopping list. New house, new car, new wife, better children. I don't know. And even if you get all this, that was not successful prayer. Successful prayer is that once you get up from your knees, you are transformed. Even if you don't notice, many times you will be transformed and you don't notice there is any transformation. Because many of these changes go much deeper. You might still get up from your prayer and think, "I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner." Yes, you are still. But you are a sinner who experienced the love which comes from God, and that love starts the change from inside. Now, we have to see how we can be transformed. Any transformative experience will always, every transformative experience has to break out my little ego, my littleness. It has to break. When I can be transformed, when something greater than I enter in my smallness and has to break me up. Make sense? Something greater than I has to enter in, break in. And for that reason, that experience is always a little bit scary. Like falling in love. This boy who saw this girl is so great, amazing. I mean, at least at that moment she looked so great. Maybe after 2 years, not. You understand? But at that time he was so impressed with her. And something greater than he enters in him. Can you imagine how dull is the life when the greatest thing what you can see on this earth is just yourself? That's dull life. It's, you can worship only your belly button. That's the greatest thing on the earth. And nothing can actually impress you. I had once in confession one man, and after saying everything what he had said, I was looking how to help him, and I did ask him the question, "Do you love anybody? Do you find anybody more important than you?" And he was sincere enough to say no. And I didn't know how to help him, except to offer him to pray for God to open his eyes. There is no way out of this little prison, me, myself and I, if I don't find something greater than I outside of me to go out. What can break in this littleness, in this smallness of me? When you are fascinated with some beauty of heaven here in Michigan, come out in the night when there are no clouds, you may say, "Wow, I don't know if I'm only one impressed with that." You feel so small, so nothing, and so beautiful, actually. When something makes you feel small, actually, you finally fall into right place. Make sense? When you find a girl who makes you feel so small, unworthy, you finally fall into right place. So, sorry, I'm a man, so I speak from male perspective. Girls, you have to to put the example for yourself. Once you hear the truth, which completely undoes your idea of yourself, of the world, and show you the world in completely new way. You are undone, but you are happy. And once you, and same is with God. When we see God, who showed me my sinfulness, my smallness, finally, this experience may transform me, may change me, may help me to come out of this little ego and see that life is much greater than my little universe where I'm hiding myself. So, all these experiences are humbling experiences. Obviously, to enter in the truth, I need to become humble. And I'm always afraid of that word. Because we are so smart that once we recognize what is needed is humility, what we immediately try to do, we try to pretend that we are humble, at least to ourselves. And I'm not sure that it might be that false humility is even worse than pride. You understand? So, and or we try to paint good image of ourselves. When we speak about humility, it is some people might tell me, "Oh, Father, it's easy for you to be humble. You have many reasons to be humble. For me, who am so perfect, it's difficult." You understand? But don't worry. God may show you the truth. And sometimes our idea of our perfection is not that true. I know a case of man in one of parishes where I was. It's not from this parish. I don't want that you look at anybody here. Somebody who had very respectable member of the parish. It's well known. Everybody knew him. And he had a sin that he was stealing some things from grocery store. Not big thing. I mean, big enough. Not the smallest ones, and regularly. And he never confessed it. And at one point he came to confess it. And that's the reason. I'm not telling you the example because of his sin, but the reason which brought him to confess. Because he was caught. And now there was danger to go this into public. And as long as his public image was unstained and nice painted and so on, he was thinking good about himself. When his public image was in danger, he started to see himself as people would see him and start to see, that's not a nice image. That's big danger. Jesus Christ says in John chapter 5, he says that, how can you have faith? Or he says, how can you believe in God, most translation. How can you have faith if you seek glory from man and not glory from God? Huh? If you try to please man, you are not going to try to please God. God is on second place or third after all the other men. Or I don't know how many men you know. He's behind all them. That's the problem. So it's very important that we see ourselves in truth as God sees us. You see, let me come back because I forgot to say important point. We come here in the church. Everything what we do, we come to have this encounter with God. Catholics have a little bit of problem with many Catholics live their faith in the way as Jewish people live their faith. We need just to fulfill the rules, and I'm okay. I have to be here on Sunday. I have to confess at least once a year. I have to smile at the other parishioners. I have to tell them, how are you? Nice dress. And I'm okay. So I have to give you an example how that doesn't work. Okay? There was a priest who was, and I know I was recently telling these jokes to somebody, I hope not on this mass. There was a priest going back to his parish in some dark alleys, dark streets, and suddenly he hears behind himself the strong voice, "Lift up your hands." he looks back and says, give me all your money. And now he starts to shake. He never had experience like that. He was a bit shaken. He turns, look at the guy with the gun pointed at him, shaking. And the guy, as soon as he noticed it is a priest, he told him, oh, father, sorry, sorry, put down your head. I didn't mean it. Sorry, father. And the priest is still shaking, and he says, do you mind if I take the cigarettes? No, no, father, just take, no problem, take the cigarette. He takes out the cigarette, and he wants to be nice. He offered to the guy, do you want some cigarette? Oh, no, father, I gave up cigarettes for Lent. It would be probably better if he gave up stealing for Lent. You understand? That's what it means, keeping, coming in church to fulfill the obligation, to do the rituals without having the experience of encountering God. The reason for all the rituals, the reason for all the rules is that we put ourselves in situation where we can have the encounter with God. Rules are not important. What is important is encounter with God. Rules and whatever we do here is only purpose is to give us in situation to have encounter with God. But we are like, I had a dog. You point him to food on the floor and he comes and sniffs my finger. Completely misdirected. You understand? Finger is not important, but the food. But he misses the point. If we pay attention, that doesn't mean rules are there to be broken and not important. All of these rules have some meaning, but their purpose is to bring us to God. You, as you are sitting here in the church, the purpose of coming in the church is not to fill the rows, because that's the lousy, if we have still many empty places. Okay? The purpose is not to pay CSA, although we need to do that, and I had to mention it, forgive me. The purpose is that every person who comes here might have encounter with living God and be transformed by that encounter. Not transformed by your own strength, by your conviction, I have to be different. That will never work. To be transformed by the encounter with living God. And here is possible. If you come to do that. If you come just to fulfill the rules and rituals, then they'll say, oh, this father, I mean, well, this homily should be a little shorter. Probably. You know? But if you come to meet somebody who is greater than you, then you want to hear what this person, because God, through me, the weak as I am, try to reach your heart, to touch you, to wake you up, to show you that he may break in you to your smallness. Through this word which was proclaimed, God tried to speak to your heart. Through my words, even with Croatian accent, God wants to reach your heart. And then to meet him first in this world, a living person who tried to speak to you, and then to receive him and become one with him in sacrament. Then you may already today experience what heaven is, if you experience this encounter. Let us stand and profess our faith.